on the line?
Hello? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Oh, I can.
John O'Connor?
John, okay. I think we have one.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Marlita. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right. Thank you. We're going to finish roll call and see if any other members have joined the line. Hamid Bahadori?
Here.
Don Brown? Richard Goff? All right. That does give us quorum. We would next like to approve the agenda as posted if there are no changes. I'd like a motion and a second.
Move to approve, O'Connor. Second, Boyer.
And Diana.
O'Connor, Boyer. All those in favor of the agenda, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
We would next like to approve the previous minutes of October the 31st, 2017.
So move, Boyer. O'Connor, second.
Boyer, O'Connor. All those in favor of the minutes with no changes, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Our first item of discussion today is to review and discuss a request for declaratory statement DS-2018-012 by Robert Sisson of the Plaza Motel, Incorporated. Mr. Sisson, are you on the line or your representative?
I am on the line, as well as my attorney, Evan, is on the line as well.
All right, thank you. Very quickly, before we get into that, let's introduce the staff here in the room. I'm Marlita Peters, helping to facilitate your meeting today.
Mo Madani.
Justin Vogel.
Tom Campbell.
Chris Howell.
Jim Hammers.
Thank you. Do we have anyone on the line that would like to be recognized?
Raymond Issa.
Thank you, Dr. Issa. Any other guests? Any other guests on the line that would like to be recognized?
Evan Dix, representative for Robert Sisson, as you mentioned.
Thank you. Anyone else? Hearing none, back to you. Mr. Sisson, would you like to open with a synopsis of your request or your attorney representing you? Mr. Dix?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I'd be happy to give you a brief overview. It's a family-run hotel, a motel here. We've had the family business for about 30 years. About 10 years ago, we built a cheeky near the pool area. It was basically used for shade. We've used it for various events, weddings, small little gatherings. There is no plumbing, no electrical, no non-wood features in the actual cheeky, so it is built to code. Recently, we wanted to start putting more of a bar setting in there, so more of a countertop, not actual bar itself, because the bar itself would actually require three sinks and guns and hoses and all the electrical. So more like a countertop area, so that pedestrians and guests can come up to the countertop and order a canned beer or wine. We have a beer and wine license, not a full liquor license. So this is nothing to be intended to be a full-blown bar like you see in, you know, a big city. This is just something for our guests of the hotel to utilize. By buying some ice cream or beer and wine, and that's pretty much what we're looking to do. So, as it clearly states, we have some wood items there right now, big heavy chairs, big heavy tables, and those we kind of move in and out, and it'd be a lot easier if we can put some aluminum chairs in there because some of our female staff members that we have trouble moving those big heavy wooden chairs around, and we'd like to put some aluminum chairs or even plastic chairs in there so it's easier for the staff to move around. And then we want to see if we can use it as almost like a bar setting. So I'm not sure if use is considered in there, so that's why we have a question that we're asking. So we don't want to lose our exemption. So we want to see if use is exempt from there as well, because we just want to use it kind of as a bar setting, but not really a bar, because like I said, there's not going to be electrical plumbing. It's just more for our guests.
Thank you, sir. Mo?
Yeah, good afternoon. This is Mo Madani, and assuming everybody had an opportunity to review the staff analysis for deck statement DS-2018-012, just really to provide additional information to what the petitioner have just stated. As is really, in summary, the request is really that we provide a clarification with regard to the Chicky Hut located on a hotel property, which is currently utilized to sell beer, wine, soda, prepackaged ice cream, and T-shirts. The petitioners, as he explained, this has to do with a resort and a hotel is in existence, and a Chicky was constructed some time ago, and is being used within the allowed exemptions in the Florida statute and the Florida Building Code, which is Section 102.2(h). As you know, the language in the statute, as well as the code, is said that Chicky constructed by the Miccosukee Tribe of Indians of Florida or the Seminole Indians of Florida. As used in this paragraph, the term Chicky means an open-sided wooden hut that has a thatched roof of palm or palmetto or other traditional materials and that does not incorporate any electrical, plumbing, or other non-wood features. As stated by petitioners, the petitioners would like to remove the wood items and replace various non-wood items underneath the Chicky. And he gave us really specific items that he would like to incorporate at this point into the Chicky, aluminum or plastic chairs and tables and tiled countertop height bar underneath the Chicky. Looking at the Florida Building Code, as I stated, Section 102.2 has the exemption said that because of the law exemptions, Chickies are exempted from compliance with the Florida Building Code if they meet those criteria that I was just stated. If the issue at this, also I, in the analysis, I included a summary of a deck statement which we issued, 2013, DS-20113-031, just for reference. The issue that really kind of when you read this statute language is what really they mean by incorporate. If you read the Florida Building Code, then Chapter 2 of the Florida Building Code provide for definitions of terms. Incorporate is not one of them. So Section 201.4 says terms not defined. Where terms are not defined through the method authorized by this section, such terms shall have ordinary accepted meaning such as the context implies. Well, you know, we went to the American Heritage Dictionary of English Language and tried to find the meanings of incorporate. If you read it, it says, you know, as you read, it says to unite or to blend with an item, to cause to merge, to become united. So it seems like incorporate, somebody would read it, it seems that we're dealing with items that will be attached or will be made as an integral part of that structure, the Chicky structure, as required by law. As you know, the structure has to be made of natural materials, wood, and all that. So using this definitions, as you know, for incorporate, the petitioner, the staff answered to the petitioners, and also the petitioner also provided answers to his questions. Under the staff analysis, we have question number one, which we read it, and then I'll give you two answers. One, the answer from the petitioners, and the other one is the answer from staff. Question number one, to be exempt under the Florida Building Code, a Chicky must not incorporate any non-wood features. wood merely replacing non-wood items underneath a chicky, including aluminum or plastic chairs and tables, a tiled counter, height bar, and food beverage means that the petitioner is incorporating non-wood feature into its chicky so as to lose its exemptions under a Florida statute 553.73(10)(i) and Florida statute code 102.2(h). The answer, option one, is the petitioner's answer, which is petitioner respectfully believe that the answer to question one is no. Incorporating non-wood features into a chicky only refers to the makeup of the chicky structure. Indeed, when describing the various exemptions to the Florida Building Code, the language refers to the following building structures and facility. Nothing in the language of the statute or the Florida Building Code purport to regulate what may or may not be brought inside and placed underneath the chicky. Such items would not make up or constitute part of the structure itself. The staff answer, which is option two, for the level of work in question, the answer is no. Adding the items, aluminum or plastic chairs and tables and a tiled countertop height bar within the footprint of the chicky in a question will not void its exemption status as per section 102.2(h) of the 6th edition 2017 Florida Building Code building. Question number two, does the Florida Building Commission consider the use of a chicky for purpose of determining whether a chicky may be exempt under the Florida statute 553.73(10)(i) and the Florida Building Code 102.2(h). Answer, again, petitioners provided an answer, which is under option one. Petitioner respectfully believe that the answer to question number two is no. Nothing in the language of the exemption purport to regulate the use of a chicky. The exemptions only specify how a chicky is to be built, i.e. a wooden hut with an attached roof of palm or palmetto. No other non-wood features.
Okay. We're getting feedback, ladies and gentlemen.
Unmuted.
Do we lose Mo?
No, I'm here. I'm here. I'm waiting for him to cut, you know, to really the noise goes away. Okay. So, accordingly, petitioners believe that issues relating to the use of a chicky is not a matter within the jurisdiction of the Florida Building Commission for the purpose of the exemption. Option number two, staff. Answer to question number two.
Check and see if they're hearing you.
Can you hear me? Can you
bouncing
hear?
It out on me.
Okay.
Can, yeah, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now? Okay. Answer to question number two. No, neither section 553.73(10)(i) Florida statute nor section 102.2(h) Florida Building Code building 2017 condition the exemption of chickies from the building code based upon their use. Note that this does not preclude the possibility that other legal authority may restrict the possible uses of the chickies. Thank you, guys.
TAC members, do you have any clarifying questions or comments?
This is Shane Gerwig. I have a question.
Go ahead, Shane.
A couple things kind of, I just have a couple, I guess, qualifying questions if you would If they're selling ice cream and beer out of this, I mean, are there coolers of some sort in here already, or how does that process work?
That is correct. So behind that kind of countertop height table or bar that we're kind of putting together, behind it is coolers full of ice. So that is correct.
Okay, so it's kind of like
big fishing coolers that are kind of full of ice.
Okay, so they're not electric coolers. They are
no.
Okay.
Yeah, no refrigeration, no electricals underneath there. It's just all in coolers.
And then I guess my next question would need to probably be for Mo or Justin there. Is, I mean, from the looks of things, I mean, it looks like what they're wanting to put in here wouldn't necessarily be regulated by the code anyways. I mean, if they're wanting to put some kind of chairs and temporary bar top or some kind of bar or something like that right there that, you know, could get into the, you know, to the finishes that may or may not be necessarily even regulated by the code. So, I mean, is it really up to us to make decisions since, you know, what they're actually doing with their property?
I can step in and answer, take a shot at that. This is Justin Vogel. The petitioner is citing to a statutory exemption, but that statutory exemption is also included verbatim in the Florida Building Code, and so to the extent that it's included, I agree with the thrust of what you're saying, that it seems fairly clear that, you know, that wouldn't be covered by the building code, but that's what they're seeking clarification about. And so, yes, because the exemption is cited in the statute, and it's cited in the, or it's in the statute and it's cited by the building code, I believe that the commission can weigh in on it.
Okay, thanks, Justin. I think that does it. I mean, if it's exempt from the building code because it's a chicken, and the work that they're doing, whether it be the chairs or the table or what they propose to put in there, is exempt from the building code, I think that would, I mean, I think, would that not pull it completely out of the realm of what we're looking at?
Yeah, I think that's what really the guts of the matter is trying to say, or like, does this fall under the scope of the exemptions or not as it relates to the Florida Building Code? And what we're saying here is no. So is it does fall under the exemption. So it's more of a clarification than really a rewriting of the code. I think the argument out there is that is really, which we heard, that everything has to be made of wood, regardless if it's integrated or incorporated. So I think there's something that needs to be clarified. How you incorporate, you know, as we said, it seems it's more specific to integration, meaning that it's part of the structure, it's part of the construction of it, and that's where, you know, if you do that, then you lose the exemption. Now, if it's only incorporate, meaning it's within the footprint, except that it's standalone and portable and what have you, we're saying it's really, that's really is fall within the exemption.
Hi, this is Diana Worrell. Could I ask a question?
Of course. May I interrupt for one moment? Ladies and gentlemen, if you have your phone on speaker, perhaps you can turn the volume down a notch or two, and it'll prevent the echo effect that we're receiving. Thank you. Ms. Worrell, go ahead, please.
Yes. Is there table seating in there? I guess I missed whether there was or not.
We do have some tables in there at the moment.
The bar.
Yeah, so we're not talking about a large tiki. The tiki is only a 20 by 20, so it's not a large tiki. This is not a massive structure, so it's only a 20 by 20 tiki. At the moment, there are two or three tables there that we reserve, bar height tables that are reserved for more handicapped guests, so people that can't stand. So mostly it's just standing. The bar height bar is there just to kind of cover the coolers behind it. So we don't want to just make it look like we're selling beer and wine and ice cream out of coolers. So to kind of hide the facade. facade and make it look a lot nicer for the tourists. That's why the bar height bar there is there. And then there are 2 to 3 tables, depending on the volume there, but no more than 3 tables, and then a few chairs as well. But like I said, the tables that we have right now are currently big, heavy tables that we're putting in and out, as well as the chair. You can imagine how heavy a bar height chair made out of wood is, and we're having trouble with the staff coming in and out. So that's why we'd like to put some aluminum tables and aluminum chairs in there, probably the same amount, 3, or maybe even add another one because we'll have a little bit of space, just for the patrons to be able to sit down and enjoy, because we do, like I said, our families have the hotel for 30 years now. We've got a lot of older guests at the hotel. A lot of them can't stand. We have a lot of veterans here, so a lot of people that have disabilities that can't do it, so we've got that for that. But for the most part, like I said, it's only a 20 by 20 area, so it's not a big area. Most people actually just buy the beer and move out of the Cheeky altogether and go to the pool area, because the Cheeky is right next to the pool area. So most people just buy it and then go lounge out by the pool area. But the few people that do want to stay around, there is a shaded area that stay under the Cheeky where we have those tables right now.
So if there's a disabled guest, they wouldn't have to go to the counter to get their drink?
They would not have to. No, the bartender can come around, yeah, because like I said, the bar is not a big bar where you're being closed. Like a regular restaurant would have a big bar, you're closed. We're talking a bar that's probably 6 or 7 feet wide, just wide enough just to hide the coolers behind. So like that, we call it a bar, but it's truly not even a bar, more of an island than anything else.
All right, thank you for your clarification.
TAC members, any further questions or comments?
This is John O'Connor. I'd like to move staff's responses to question 1 and 2.
We need to get public comment first, please. Is there anyone from the public who would like to comment or ask questions? Hearing none. Mr. O'Connor, we have your motion to accept staff recommendations. Do we have a second?
Shane Gerlich, second.
Do we have any further discussion, TAC members? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion to accept staff recommendations, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? That's unanimous. We will next move to the item number 5 on your agenda, to review and accept the draft interim report for research project titled Webinar Workshops on Evaluation of the Cost Impact of Prescriptive Code Changes.
Yeah, this is Mo Madani. I just to give you a brief on this research project, this is one of the research projects that the commission approved for this fiscal year. It was approved last August. And the contractor on this is University of Florida. The objective of this research project is really is tied to the project that we're doing with regard to doing cost analysis on the 2018 update to the International Building Code. UF also has that project. The project for the cost analysis involve doing cost estimate using models for different type of buildings. The plan is to be able to thank you. All right. The plan is to the plan is to really allow us to use the information or the data which is we will have from the cost analysis project, and you know then put together this webinar workshop evaluation of cost impact, which is will allow an individual who is really trying to submit a code change through the triannual code change process to use the information that we have and do cost estimate on their proposed code change. I know Dr. Issa is on the line and will give us an interim or status on this report and additional information. Dr. Issa, are you on the line?
Thank you, Mo. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm going to be talking about the Florida Building Code Changes Cost Impact Workshop that we developed a webinar for. I'm a grad student from the research team. And what we were asked by the Florida Building Code mission is, my full number is to develop a workshop to allow users who want to submit code changes to use our data to develop a cost impact for that data. And so the scope of work was to develop that webinar in reference to the work we did on the 2015 building code, ICC code, and to put that on a website so prospective code change requesters can use it to get a cost for their code change. So we used a three-step approach. We did a project review where we looked at the project objectives. We had seven building models and BIM technology and software to be used to develop the models. And we also used the RS Means cost database and other databases to develop our cost database. Then we did a data analysis. We extracted the model quantities from the models. We derived an assembly cost from the cost data sources, and then we computed the total building cost. So in this part, we're going to be using modified data input. When you make a change to the code, you add the building code changes as line items in your spreadsheet. You substitute proprietary costs. You can substitute your own cost database for our cost database, and then you determine the impact of the building code changes on the total construction cost. So the deliverables were interim report on February the 15th and a final report on June 1st. I'm going to take you to the website right now. We have over an hour and a half of video, close to 2 hours of video, so I won't go through everything. But this is the website. There's a welcome, there's a disclaimer, the workshop description objectives, the workflow. Then we have walkthroughs of all the models that we use. All the standard models, commercial and residential ones. And then we did a project review, the Florida Building Code case models for each one of the models. And we looked at the details from the seven building types in another video and the software implementation. And then we went over how we did a quantity takeoff of these buildings. And after that, we did the data analysis, which is the second step. We looked at the workshop spreadsheet template. We did a model quantities. We used the RS Mean Cost online cost database to come up with a cost. Came up with the total building cost. Came to a conclusion. Then we had the data input for our change that we're trying to come up with a pricing for. And we looked at two options, the commercial buildings or the residential buildings. And then we looked at the cost change, the cost of that change, and then there's a conclusion. As you can see, the modules range all the way up to 12 minutes long, which is a maximum because it's conducive to online webinar learning. I'll go back to the presentation and show you some of the visual content of here. And this one. So this is the start of the workshop. You'll see this right here. And then the outline of the first of the whole course, the introduction, the module one, which is the project review, the module two is the data analysis, the module three is the modified data input. And then so this is the introduction part. And all the highlights, the disclaimers there, then the aim and objectives of this workshop or webinar, and the workflow, look at the Florida building code case models that we already have, and how we implemented the software, project review, and we go over the buildings themselves. This is an example of the one-story residential building. And then we look at the business process, the digital presentation, organization and control. We use Autodesk Revit for our models. Then in module two, we look at the data itself. We use workshop spreadsheet templates. Then we come up with the quantities on the models, use the online database, and come up with the total building cost. So the user themselves only have to interact with spreadsheets. So we kept it simple. We didn't get into building modeling and all that. So this is where you do your modification. This part covers that. You have classification of your code changes. You have to figure out if they're a commercial building or residential building you want to look at. And there's some changes that apply to both commercial and residential building. So this is an example of a change from the 2015 I code and how it goes about implementing it. And these are spreadsheets you generate and you come up with your costs. And that's so far what we've done with this webinar workshop. Are there any questions?
TAC members?
No question, but just to let you know, Mr. Brown has joined the call.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Has Mr. Goff joined the line? When did you join, Mr. Brown?
About 15 minutes ago.
Thank you. Mr. Goff is not yet answering. TAC members, do you have any clarifying questions for Dr. Issa? Hearing none, does anyone from the public have any questions or comments? Back to the TAC members, we'll entertain a motion to accept this interim report.
Move motion, Boyer.
Thank you. Second?
Second, Worrell.
Thank you, Ms. Worrell. Any further discussion, TAC members? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion to accept the interim report, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Is there any further business to bring before the TAC today before we call roll?
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Issa. TAC members, any further business? Anyone from the public? Hearing nothing, if you would answer roll call, please, by saying here. Hamid Bahadori?
Here.
Bob Boyer?
Here.
Don Brown?
Here.
Michael is out today. David Gilson?
Here.
Shane Gerwig?
Here.
Richard Goff? John O'Connor?
Here.
Diane Worrell.
Here.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your participation today. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you.
Same to you.